This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Curtis is flexing a Monday. He will be back tomorrow.
And you had a flex Friday.
That was kind of a work day.
Yeah, but really, well-deserved, you know?
It wasn't really a flex day.
Do you have fun? You had fun, though?
It was
Florida
great.
Was great?
It was great. Good time down there.
Your sun-kissed?
Weather was fantastic. Got back a little late, which is kind of annoying when we have to do the show. And I missed... where are we, by the way? I know we need to get back to the news. Where are we on this season of White Lotus?
Love it.
I don't watch it.
You do?
I love it. Nothing happens. We're all just a bunch of nosy individuals who are like watching these people's lives fall apart.
Okay, like I missed last night because we didn't land till like 9 o'clock, or by the time we get out of there, it was 10 o'clock. By the time I got home, but the family, like the weird brothers sex thing is.
Bizarre.
He's
my least favorite character I maybe have ever watched. He's played by Patrick Schwarzenegger, and he just...
Why do we need that?
I don't know.
That storyline is...
If you I know Wiggy's a reality TV guy, but Southern Charm, apparently the writers based this family off of things they've observed on Southern Charm.
I don't know.
I didn't watch last night yet either, but very
good.
This
season is bothering me. It's not...
So what is it about? A rich family?
Have you ever watched White Lotus?
No.
It takes place at this pseudo resort, the White Lotus resorts, like the Four Seasons resorts all around in different place every season. And it's kind of, the foreshadowing they did about what happens at the resort, I guess I keep coming back to that, and that's going to make it interesting, but I don't know.
I do like Walter Goggins, and he's in it, right?
Who is Walter Goggins?
Goggins was in The Hateful Eight. He was in The Righteous Gents.
He is in it,
Gemstones.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, I think... would Wiggy like it? I don't know if Wiggy would like it or not.
Yeah, I've seen it, but
it's
like
almost a character study of the people. I don't know. First season I thought was really good.
Yeah, second season was great.
Yeah.
I like this season so far, and I think it's going to get good.
So do they switch up characters every season like True Detective does?
Yeah, and then there's some people who come back here or there. But
All right.
Anyway, back to this morning's news. And then I have Bruins tickets to give away for you at 8:30. So be listening, whether you're listening on any of the radio stations we have assembled all over New England for you, or on the Odyssey app, or you're streaming us this morning at WEEI.com, or you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, whatever. 8:30 this morning, you can win Bruins tickets as the new era begins for the Boston Bruins.
Brookville High School junior Colleen Tucker. She's a Virginia High School sprinter. She suffered a concussion and potential skull fracture when her competitor smashed her in the back of the head with a relay baton
during
their race.
This is a little aggressive.
Yeah, Mitch has the video for those watching on Twitch and on YouTube. It happened we've all seen track meets and relays. At the final stretch of it, when they all kind of merge into that far right lane, it was happening when that happened. She starts merging. Colleen did, and the competitor slowed down, almost letting her in, and then just bangs her on the back of the head with the baton. The other student,
we call that a Tanya Harding is what we call it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The other student was, of course, disqualified from the event. But Tucker's mom tomorrow says she's called the sporting body who have opened an investigation into the alleged assault.
Yeah.
So when you see the video, like, there should be charges pressed.
Well, she said she didn't
do
it.
You would say charges.
I would press charges.
Have you not seen the interview of the girl that was running? She said that it was an accident. It was unintentional.
If you watch that video, it is not an accident.
No, it does look like, it really looks like she does it, but then they show an angle from behind.
You think it was an accident?
Well, she was all over television crying about it. Yeah.
I'm sure she's crying about it now, but there is no chance. It is, like, you need to see this video.
Yeah,
Mitch
I've
keeps
seen
playing it. It does not look like an accident.
Because there's another video where another girl, I guess she was there, talks about, like, from the angle behind where she's running, it gets caught in the girl's arm. I'm just telling you what the girl was saying, because the one girl was crying, saying it was unintentional. She didn't do it or anything like that. But it looks like, I'm with you, it looks like, when I first saw it, I was like, damn.
A concussion and possibly a fractured skull? Like,
Yeah. It looks weird. It does look crazy.
Yeah. Well, from bad sportsmanship to good, two high school golfers were playing each other in a tournament near Dallas when the senior, Angel Lucio, heard his opponent yelling for help, went to go find him, and he was in a water hazard.
Oh, he got stuck in the water hazard.
Yeah. Turns out that the opponent couldn't swim.
Why'd he go in to get his ball?
Well, you know, maybe he thought, sometimes when you're around those areas,
don't they make those specific sticks to reach in and grab the ball?
Yeah, well, he thought he could roll the pants up and go half leg in, half leg out. And
maybe he just tumbled.
Give it a whack. You've been there, Shy.
Oh, yeah, once or twice.
Yeah. Your ball finds the water automatically, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like a magnet. Yeah. It's kind of sad.
Well, they're saying that Angel's a hero because he pulled him out and saved him. We can hear from Angel and his coach talking about what happened.
It was a very panicked tilt. He was panicking, yeah. I didn't think about it. I just jumped in. That he was just thankful that I got him out.
And then I'm thinking to myself, why are you wet? You know, to me, it was a big deal. And, you know, he kind of plays it off a little bit because he's humble and he's a good young man.
I mean, for me, it was something that anybody else should have done.
Oh, yeah. So nice.
Yeah. When is Happy Gilmore 2 coming out? Very soon, right?
I think this summer.
Is it?
I think it's summer.
The trailer looks pretty good, I got to tell you. Normally, you know me, I'm not a big fan of the sequels because when you have a movie as great as Happy Gilmore, you are risking the entire integrity of the film by doing a sequel, but it looks pretty good.
July 25th.
Yeah.
July 25th, it's coming out.
I mean, does it not look good to you?
I liked Happy Gilmore. I liked the first one.
Liked it? You didn't love it?
I mean, I like all of Adam Sandler's movies, so I know what I'm getting from them, so I enjoy all of them. So I'll be excited to see this one as well.
Do you think it won't be as good, though, because we're so PC?
Well, I don't. Is everybody still doing that, or is that?
I think Hollywood still.
But the first one,
Hollywood's like a year and a half behind. Yeah. So everything you see now is the leftover.
Yeah.
And the first one wasn't really.
But Adam Sandler's movies, he doesn't hold back. Like, they're funny
But because he's not really. He's not really a cross the line. Like, if you've seen Jack and Jill, or if you've seen 50 First Dates, or even Happy Gilmore, there's no real cross the line stuff there.
Yeah. Let's go to Florida for the last story.
And now,
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami,
Florida.
Florida.
Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
28-year-old Shanika Serdal was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a Pringles can after she attacked a man at a 7-Eleven in Orlando last Thursday. She walked up to him, called him the B word, and then hit him across the face with the Pringles can. Yeah, he suffered a cut above his right eyebrow and under his eye.
Did they know each other?
No.
Prior to?
Nope. Oh,
okay. Really?
And so she took off. Police were called to the scene.
What kind of Pringles? I need to know.
Good question.
Maybe the what is it? The barbecue ones.
Mesquite barbecue.
Yeah,
is so
those.
Good.
I like the OG.
I like the pizza ones. But whenever I say I like the pizza ones, people
gross.
Go
gross.
Exactly
no, they're
that.
Good.
They go
all right.
No, the sour cream and onion are
sour
the second
cream are good.
Best.
No, what about the cheddar cheese ones?
Like, oh,
the, I'm not really a cheddar cheese chip.
I hate cheddar cheese flavored chips.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
What a weirdo. What's wrong?
Gross.
With you?
I'm with you on that one.
Sour cream and sour cream and cheddar. Those Ruffles. Dynamite. Yeah.
Those are the best chips. You and I would agree on that. The Ruffles, sour cream, and cheddar are by far the greatest chips.
Yeah, Courtney, I'm with you. Cheddar cheese and chips don't
gross.
Go together. I'm with
what?
You.
What?
Yeah.
No, I'm not with
you.
The only type of cheese I want on my chips are, nachos? Nacho
That's
chips.
A completely
That's it.
Different thing.
I don't like no cheddar chips. No cheddar
because
cheese
chips. Because it's like
chip.
Fake cheddar
I'm with
seasoning.
You.
It's gross.
Those things are so good.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, what do you think the barbecue is? They're not putting those things out on the spit. No. Like, it's all
fake barbecue. But I feel like chips and barbecue go together.
Like flavor. It's like all flavor.
Yeah, but I feel like chips and barbecue go together. So a barbecue chip is good.
So that's your favorite Pringles flavor is the barbecue. You and Chime would say the barbecue. Are you the same?
No. I'm original and then sour cream.
Original and then sour
cream. Yeah, I like sour cream. Okay. Original's okay.
Original equals missionary. But
yeah,
whatever.
That's fair.
True.
And then what else? Nobody has the pizza one in there. Huh?
Yeah, not really like that. Like, I feel like, you know, some of those things, you got to be specific. Like, I don't mind the pizza goldfish.
Oh, you like those?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm an OG for that, too.
Yeah.
You're basic when it comes to your chips.
Yeah, but ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's interesting. In London, when I got a small thing of Pringles before my flight,
mm-hmm.
and their barbecue, it's like barbecue and onion. It's not actually just like normal mesquite barbecue. It's weird.
Huh. Yeah, I'm stockpiling the Ruffles cheddar and sour cream chips because I know RFK Jr. is going to get rid of them soon. So I have a giant stockpile that I'm forming right now currently, Shine.
Is that your new moonshot to make sure those stay in stores?
Yes. All right, is that it on
That's
the
it for the news.
Great job this morning,
hey,
Courtney.
Thank you.
Curtis is off today. He will be back tomorrow, and we will be in Quincy tomorrow morning. Doing this show at Granite Telecommunications. It is the 12th annual Saving by Shaving event. Their goal tomorrow, to raise $3.5 million for Children's Hospital. And they've done it for 12 years. And we will be joined by Joe Mazzulla and by Mike Vrabel on tomorrow morning show. Because they are both there getting their head shaved. So that is happening tomorrow morning on this show starting at 6. Right now, Courtney, with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Health Connector for Business. Legal tampering begins at noon today in the NFL. The league now calling that negotiation period. And there have been some wild moves in the last 48 hours. So let's start with the Pats. The Pats are trading Devon Godchow to the Saints in exchange for a 7th-round draft pick. That happened this morning. They signed Harold Landry to a 3-year, $43.5 million deal and are re-signing tight end Austin Hooper to a 1-year deal at $5 million. The Steelers are getting DK Metcalf for a 2nd-round pick and flipping picks in the 6th and 7th rounds with the Seahawks. The Seahawks also trading Geno Smith to the Raiders. The Bills extended Josh Allen through 2030, a record-setting deal with 6 years, $330 million, $250 million of that guaranteed. And reports are that Devontae Adams is to sign a 2-year deal with the Rams worth $46 million, $26 million guaranteed. The Browns and Miles Garrett have a deal done at $40 million a year with $123 wow. million dollars guaranteed.
Is this going to be another dud of a free agency period and just kind of where we're headed with New England? Because I'm just wondering, like, the free agent market, at least for when I say big players, like, you know, I'm not really sure about the offensive
line.
You have to
I was going to say, you got to be specific about the position.
And I would say wide receiver position. Yeah. There's really not much out there. The running back position, Aaron Jones is off the market now. I mean, I know there's Najee Harris, but I feel like the big splash has to come via trade. And if Shime thinks that they're not going to do anything, do we really have, like, a big offseason if you're a Pats fan?
Do you consider Chris Godwin... Milton Williams and, like, I don't know, Kevin Zeitler or something, a big offseason?
No, I think those, like, those are just, like, middle of the road.
Depth
like,
pieces.
Solid pieces, but if you had a, if I told you you could either have Chris Godwin or George Pickens, which one would you want?
Well, I think I would probably want Pickens.
Right, and that would be a big splash.
I don't know. I might actually want Chris Godwin over George
Really?
Pickens. Yeah, George Pickens isn't that good. He's good.
No, but you're talking about an age differential. That's
sure, but Chris Godwin is far more reliable
but
than
don't
George
you think
Pickens.
George Pickens is more of a big splash than Chris Godwin?
No.
Nah, see, wow. You and I are on two different sides of the spectrum for that one. Chris Godwin's coming off another knee injury. He's older. George Pickens.
He was having the best season of his career before that injury last year.
Yeah, but he's come. What's this? His second one?
Yeah, and he looked tremendous after
that.
And
he's what, 30?
The first one. He's 30
something years old?
I think Chris Godwin way better than George Pickens.
Wow.
Well, the Sox beat the Braves yesterday 7-3. No game today for the guys. They have the Phillies tomorrow. Any talk down there when it comes to Rafi Devers? Because they're saying he's nearing a return possibly this week. So then we'll figure out the third base situation.
I mean, I feel like the talk is that Alex Bregman will get that job.
Is it?
Yeah.
All
right. I mean,
guess we'll find out March 27th in Texas.
Yeah. I mean,
I still think it's going to be Devers, but
you do?
Yeah, I just don't. I think they're going to start with Devers, and if he doesn't pan out,
why would they?
Because I think they want to at least kind of maybe
placate his ego.
Yeah, not
say,
rock the boat.
Yeah, hey, but listen, we'll give you a shot. If you can't get it done, Bregman's coming.
It is interesting because Alex Cora has said that he doesn't plan on having Bregman bounce around, so that kind of leads me to believe that maybe they'll keep him.
Well, maybe Bregman goes to second.
Yeah, or that. The Celtics are back in action tonight. They have the Jazz at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30. Al Horford and Jason Tatum are questionable for this one, while Kristaps Porzingis is listed as doubtful. And the Health Connector for Business creates employee health plans to make affordable health care for small businesses and their employees more accessible than ever. Companies interested in employee health plans can go to mahealthconnector.org/business and filter right to premium value plans. That's what's trending. Here's Shime with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's currently 39 degrees and sunny here in the city of Boston. The high today is going to be 56.
That's Curtis's guy, Elliot Friedman, getting Courtney all up in her feels. Brad Marchand tried to remain a Bruin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wanted it. He went to him. Please give me a meeting.
Right.
Please, let's get a deal done. And they, I guess at that point, were uninterested.
And so two things. Just that doesn't sound like a guy who hated it here in Boston or was having issues in the dressing room. And two, like the money couldn't have been that far apart that the Bruins couldn't just give them a little bit more. Like Mike Milbury, he earned it.
Yeah, but I guess it clearly seems like the money was far apart because he's making $6.2 million, right? Mm-hmm. So they gave Patrice Bergeron his last year. They gave him 1 year and $5 million. So if Marchand's like, all right, well, I'll take a pay cut. Am I going to take it to 4.5?
Well, what was the number that Greg read earlier?
That they were talking three, was it 3 or 3.5? That was the
right.
Whatever.
So that's
there you go.
Whatever. That's a massive haircut for him to go from 6 to
3. He was willing to meet in the middle,
yes.
It sounds like.
So the middle looks like maybe we'll do 4.5.
Okay. I think that you do that. I think you do that for him.
Really?
Yes.
You wanted him. Greg, you...
I'm okay with it. As I said earlier, I'm just not okay with what they got for him. I think they did him a solid. Like,
right.
I think they did him a solid. I think if they were... I don't think they made... It doesn't sound to me like they made the decision to trade him until they had that meeting last week and until he came to them and said, listen, I'll meet you here in the middle or whatever. They were unwilling to do that. So I don't know. It was kind of a last-minute scramble a little bit. And so then...
barely got done. Like,
right.
It came in right under the gun.
Right.
So if they get more for him, are you happier with that?
Yeah.
See, I think more people were like, Marchand's a great player. He still wants to play, but it's time for the Bruins to move on.
Well, people get sentimental. Like, I think when something like that happens, many people who are clamoring for it are suddenly like, well, wait a minute. This is Brad Marchand. He's been here for 16 years.
he won a cup. Like, right. How can we say goodbye to him? So, I mean, that's like the recency bias of the whole thing.
Right. I think if you wanted Marchand back, then you had no problem with them running it back. And I don't think anybody other than Courtney felt like, oh, they should run it back with this roster, because that's what bringing Marchand back would be on a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I just think, though, I know that you're focused on the poll that Curtis put up, but if you listen to the people that have called, we've had a mixed bag when it comes to people's feelings. Maria from Watertown.
She's the only one. I feel like most people are like, all right, it's time to ship Brad Marchand out of here.
But again, I don't think you didn't like Maria. I don't think bases anything on nostalgia. If you listen to Maria talk, she's somebody who watches the Bruins mm-hmm. every single game and felt a certain way about it. Like, she wasn't basing it on things that he's done for the past. She was talking about the team right now and what Brad Marchand can do for us right now.
I mean, you were willing to trade him to your, I would argue, your number one rival.
Right.
And get a second round pick for him.
Right.
You know, maybe it turns into a one if he plays a bunch of games
right.
and they get past the second round of the playoffs. But so,
because you know that you're rebuilding. You know you're not very good, and that you know you're not, you know that Florida's not a threat to you because you're not going to be fighting for a playoff spot.
Oh, it's painful to hear you say that.
But that's the truth of the matter, right? If you felt like you were fighting for a playoff spot, you would not send Marchand to the Panthers.
Yeah, this is Dan from Nashua, New Hampshire. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, just a quick comment on the Brad Marchand thing. I know you guys were throwing some numbers out there. There's $3 million and $4 million numbers, but Elliot Friedman said in that clip you played, he didn't think they were asking Marchand to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
So either he's mistaken.
He did say that. Like, so yep. So let's say Marchand was looking at an increase,
mm-hmm.
and then when he went back to him last week, he was like, you know, if his increase was $1 million a year or whatever, he's like, let's split it.
Wait, how is there a gap on AAV but not getting a pay cut? I guess I don't understand.
That he's saying,
unless Marchand was asking for a raise.
Yeah.
So they were willing to give him, if you're reading into that, they'd be willing to give him like $6 million a year, but Marchand wanted like $8 million? I don't know. That seems a little outlandish.
Yeah, that's
I don't think
that's extremely high.
I mean, but you paid Patrice Bergeron $5 million in his
right.
final year.
So maybe he was like, "Well, I need to be at least $5 million." If you gave Bergie $5 million a few years back, I should be somewhere in that price range. And if that's 3 years and $15 million, and maybe they were like, "Well, oof. We're thinking more around $3 million, Brad," and he's like, "Nah, hell no, I'm not taking that much of a haircut. Yeah. You were willing to give Patrice $5 million. Why can't you give me that? I mean, based on what I mean to this team, I'm not that far behind a guy like Patrice Bergeron, and I'm 36. You were willing to give Patrice that at 38, I believe, or however old, 37.
Yeah, I think the two of them are different. Like,
no, I get it. But do you think he thinks that? Like, in as far as his production of what he's been able to do?
I mean, you'd have to tell me, because you were a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to a point where you feel like a team ought to have loyalty to you because
yeah.
of years served?
Yeah, and especially if you're a guy that
I mean, Mike Milbury said that a million times right. in the lead up to Friday, which was that essentially Brad Marchand had earned the right.
Mm-hmm.
to end his career here.
Right.
So do you feel like they did him dirty by not giving him the right to end his career here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because even if you go back and you look at what they gave to Chara when he was 38, 39 years old, and he wasn't nearly as productive as Brad Marchand is at the 37-year-old Marchand, I would look and go, well, they must have felt like, and the reason why I feel like this is they must have felt like, we're not going to give you that type of money, but he's second on your team when it comes to points. They just feel like their team is going nowhere and they don't want to invest $5 million into a guy for the next 3 years for a team that goes nowhere.
This is Mike from Rhode Island. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for the call. Yeah, I just want to talk about Marchand, you know?
Yeah.
Great player. Love him. But, you know, it's time to move on. We need a fresh build. I would have been even happy to see Pasta leave. You know, we need a new Bruins team. It's been the same thing for 5-6 years now where we almost get to the playoffs. And we get to the playoffs and we lose first round, second round.
Yeah.
There's no cup. Right. You know? Yeah. There hasn't been a cup since 2011. You know, so it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
And see, Greg, I think more people think like Mike that bringing Marchand back means you're running it back with the same team that stinks. So what are you doing here? I get your point where, like, you probably could have got more for him, and that's on Sweeney for not getting more for a guy like Brad Marchand. But bringing him back, what does he do for your team? If you bring him back for a three-year deal, what does a guy like that do for a crappy team? So why not move him?
I mean, so you're discounting any value that he had, and you may be right. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. Uh-huh. Any value that he had from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, well, I mean, what does that mean? He's been, you had Bergeron, who's arguably one of the, you know, greatest Boston Bruin leaders in that dressing room.
So who's your captain on this team next season?
It probably Pasta probably goes to, right?
I don't think Pasta will be the captain.
Does he
seem
like
you don't?
Captain material?
No,
so it's I don't.
So
know.
Then, what? Then a default that goes to McAvoy?
Probably Charlie McAvoy.
I mean, what's the difference? Like, what, you know, when you look at the captain, what's the difference between a guy like Pasta and McAvoy in that dressing room?
Well, Pasta is just, I mean, he's a phenomenally skilled player,
right?
He doesn't seem like a leader kind of person. I think maybe Charlie McAvoy is more of a, grind it out, hold you accountable leader kind of guy, maybe.
Does he seem like that,
though?
McAvoy doesn't seem like that. So that's what I mean. Like,
well, so then you're rudderless.
Well, you're at a point. Does there need to be, and that's why I think I asked Milbury about it, like, does there need to be a guy in a NHL dressing room that people, I mean, obviously, I think people respect Pasta. I think people, if Pasta said something, they would listen to him. So
that's the most important thing.
Yeah, so, and I think people would do that with Pasta. Like, what won't he bring to the table that a guy like Marchand brought to the table?
There are a considerable amount of people who, whether it's DMs or text line or over the weekend, or sorry, DMs to our show account,
mm-hmm.
not Lindsay, that suggests that the Bruins are planning on bringing him back. I don't know how you can hear what Elliot Friedman reported, which is that he went to them essentially begging to get a deal done,
right,
and they wouldn't do it, and argue that he's going to be back next season. But maybe.
But do you want to?
Maybe he wins it down there and he's happy to come back here and play for $3.5 million for another couple years.
But do you want that, though? That's what my point. Like, what does Brad Marchand do for a team that's not very good? Don't you want to stop building younger and building around a younger nucleus that is going to be here for the next 6-7 years?
Yeah.
Or what did you say? Pasta has like 6 years left, like building around guys that are going to help him?
I do have tickets to give away.
All right.
For Monday night, St. Patrick's Day, at the Garden, Bruins and the Sabres. So if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, you will get to participate in the new era that is has just begun here.
We love it.
In Boston,
yep,
with the black and gold. So caller number 9 right now on the contest line to get a couple tickets for Monday night, Bruins Sabres at TD Garden. Limited tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. This is Mark in the car. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's
you guys got the best show in the morning.
Oh,
thank you.
Mark, thank you.
No, really, it's an honor. I just want to say the Marchand thing, I actually think, based on what Elliot, it said, the average annual value, I think, was good. I don't think that had anything to do with his haircut. My guess is that Marshawn maybe wanted 4 years to get him to 40, and the Bruins were offering two. And he said, "Okay, well, let's meet in the middle," and the Bruins wouldn't go for it. So, because they said they were close on average annual value. So,
yeah.
I don't think it was the money per year. I think it was the term of the contract.
Yeah, but then there's that Emily Kaplan report, which says that to be able to offer 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Don Sweeney had to get permission from the chairman. So
okay.
He had to go and get the ownership to buy into the 3 years anyway.
And they bought into it.
That's what it seems like.
Elliot Friedman said there's a gap in AAV. They weren't together on AAV. Right. There was a gap in AAV.
So they.
Yeah, what is Elliot Friedman though?
He's just the Adam Schefter of hockey.
Right.
So listens to him.
So I know. I'm surprised that you didn't steal that scoop from under him this morning.
Yeah,
right.
I know. I thought about it.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
He's my guy. I guess if you are a Marchand fan and you're like, all right, you wanted to bring him back. The 3 years you're cool with. Now the question becomes, how much does he want? And that's why I think $3.5 million or whatever the number was that we're just speculating on, because he makes 6.2, is a massive haircut in his opinion. I think he's like, you guys got to do better than this. Maybe the lowest I'll go is $4.5 million, and maybe they weren't willing to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well. It is the end of an era.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
But that's what people wanted.
Long time since you've seen a Bruins team without Brad Marchand,
right.
And without Patrice Bergeron.
Right.
And without David Krejci.
Right.
And so it's,
don't cry now. That's what everybody asked for.
Not
some
everybody.
People are still crying. People get sad, Wiggy.
The majority of people before this trade deadline were like, Marchand got to go. It was time to rip this thing, tear it down, and he got to go. Now you can't
but it's kind of like breaking up with somebody, and then the actual moment comes, and they're moving their stuff out, and you're like,
But now it's like, all right.
Maybe this is a mistake.
I think now you just got to be like, all right, maybe a shed a tear, but you look at all the good things to come with the new
what
life.
Are we looking towards? Like, show me, like, it's Pasta and McAvoy and Swayman. Like what? They're not doing anything. That's the issue that I have. It's like, okay, let's look forward to what?
Well, I guess that's what this offseason. And you didn't think they were going to bring people in. A rebuild means you tear it all down.
I do, yeah.
And then in the offseason, that's when you're hoping that they bring in, you know, talent to go along with Pasta.
Goodbye, Brad. Hill Notes at 9:30 this morning. Sean?
Yeah, dial them in. Send it to us. You can go right on the app and send us your Hill Notes.
All right. If you'd like to offer a tribute, audio tribute to Brad Marchand, you could do so on the Odyssey app. Just click on the microphone in the upper right, and you can leave us a Hill Note at any time.
You can do it for Devon Godshaw, too, if you wanted to do it for him as
well. Yes, you could. We are really stockpiling picks. I cannot wait till the 2027 draft gets here.
Ah, unbelievable.
We're gonna be loaded. Locked and loaded, Wiggy.
It's
2027.
And this is why the next, free agency actually opens up on Wednesday, the official date. But that's why we kind of talked about this. Are you guys concerned? Because I'm a little bit concerned. If they're not willing to, like Sean believes they're not willing to pot with any draft picks.
Well, they still have the number four pick. So let's.
But what's the number four pick going to do for a team that won four games?
I mean, it could help.
You win another game or two.
Wiggy, if you were
I'm hearing things about the direction they want to go in with that number four.
Ooh.
I hear things from time to time.
All right.
Are you going to give us a name? Or?
I'm just hearing it. It's not like...
No,
My sourcing
the
is
The birds
not
are
always,
chirping?
My sourcing is not always great.
Right.
But I'm hearing that if Travis Hunter is available at number four, then they are all in.
Jackson, tweet that out.
No, don't tweet. No tweets.
How do you feel about
that?
I'm more of the Shime approach.
I'm hearing all in. If he's available.
I'm more of the Shime approach. No. Trade down, pick up an extra second round pick.
Oh my God, how boring.
But use that second round pick to actually get you a legitimate playmaker. If it is him, so you have, all right, you have one corner in Christian Gonzalez you already know could play. You have, I guess you two having two. Lockdown corners is pretty good, but still, you got nothing on offense. That's the thing. Give me Tyler Warren.
Okay.
That's who I want. I want Tyler Warren, the tight end, to help Drake May You already got a great cornerback. What's the purpose of getting another one when you need help on offense? So I would not necessarily – I think Travis Hunt is a great player. Don't get it twisted. But I feel like you need help on offense. But
couldn't you have Travis Hunter be a receiver?
No, because he'd have to play receiver full-time, and he's not going to do that.
You're sure?
Yeah, he's already the league looks at him as a cornerback.
All right, well, we got to take a quick break. I did mention the Odyssey app, and I will just remind you that you can listen to us there at any time from wherever you are. So download the app. You can also stream the show at WEEI.com. All right, Patriots under pressure, Wiggy. What are they calling it? The negotiation period? Is that what the
negotiation period?
That's the new branding on what we are currently in. And then Wednesday, the gloves are off, and you're ready to go. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
see if you get your way, Wiggy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that I do. Uh-huh. I Chimes on it is more in on Chris Godwin. Uh-huh. I would prefer you seeing about trading for a guy like George Pickens. Uh-huh. I'm trying to think who else might be out there.
Who do you have right now in your Mock 2? Is it Mock 2, Shime?
Mock 2.0 post-combine.
So who are the Patriots picking in that?
I had the Patriots trading down and taking Teteroa McMillan.
When is the next mock draft come out?
So the next mock draft will come out post-free agency here. So a couple weeks, once the free agency dust settles, then we'll release a mock draft. Because then you know more on what teams need a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
This is Tim from Hanover. Hey, Tim.
Gentlemen, good morning. Love the show as always.
Thank you.
I just want to say, the heck with the trading up and trade down. We need the receiver. Get Hunter, get Bond. There's about five good receivers out there that can make a difference. And then take it from there, man. We got to get the offensive line and spend. They got the money. Spend, 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 and we should have a team.
Yeah, I don't know. Wiggy says it. Wiggy says it all the time. Like, maybe this is not an off season where they're going to spend.
Well, but if to the caller's, you know, question or point, if you're looking at if you're looking for a receiver, the best receiver in the draft would be
Ted McMillan.
Teteroa McMillan from Arizona. I think that Travis Hunter is an unbelievable athlete. He has more cornerback skills than he does wide receiver skills.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go after him.
I'm always told that you don't draft for need. You take the best player that is available, regardless of what the position is.
I don't know. I don't really subscribe to that one because I think you have to draft for what the need is for your team.
You need a little bit of a balance. You need it to be, you don't want to just draft the best player available when you have a bunch of other guys that already play the position, but you want to draft probably the best player available at a position that you also kind of need. Like, you need a balance there. It can't be one or the other.
And I guess the question that I would maybe ask people. All right, the caller said get a wide receiver at number four. Shime has them getting Teteroa and McMillan at number four. So I guess the question would become, would you want that wide receiver, Teteroa and McMillan, or even Travis Hunter, if you're going to have Travis Hunter, he's not going to be a wide receiver, so you can take him off the board. So you're talking about Teteroa and McMillan, and then you're probably talking about Luther Burden, the third as the second best wide receiver?
A lot of people actually really like Matthew Golden.
Okay, Golden or the kid from Ohio State, right? And Jigba?
Amika Egbuka.
Egbuka, right? So you're talking either those guys, Chris Godwin, or the guy I'd like to see a trade for George Pickens. Like, where, if you're the Patriots, what direction do we want to go? If we're drafting a wide receiver, now we just have a young receiver room that is unproven and...
Yeah, no, you need to give Drake May some kind of a veteran weapon of... And you're talking about guys that have proven, minus the injury.
Right.
But he still had... What did he have? 50 catches last
50
year?
50 for over 500 yards in 7 games.
Was that Chris Godwin?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, if that's the direction you want to... I think Chris Godwin's a good player. I'm not saying he's not. I just think
well,
that,
somebody earlier was saying he was washed.
Yeah.
Why can't you do both? Why can't you sign Godwin and draft Tet McMillan? Like, wouldn't that be really addressing a need?
Oh, right. That would be addressing the need. Then I would be like, okay, all right, I could see that because Tet McMillan would be your future. Godwin would right now be the guy that you could kind of make sure he's a good leader in that wide receiver room. So I'm concerned.
Would you be fine if you got Godwin to then get Travis?
No, because Travis is a corner.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you address the need at receiver with Godwin, then are you okay if you get Travis because he's such a great athlete?
No, because then what I would do is if you don't want me to trade down or up, then I'm taking Tyler Warren at number four. I know that's a stretch, but I would rather Godwin, Tyler Warren as your offensive place, because look at what Gronkowski was able to do.
Well, hopefully we will be able to discuss this with Mike Vrabel tomorrow morning, should he be on the show.
So, all right, I would love to.
We are heading to Quincy tomorrow for the 12th annual Saving by Shaving event, and I have no idea where Mike Vrabel stands on all of this, but maybe he will.
And Vrabel knows better than anybody. He knows because he played both. Technically played both ways,
yes,
even though he was a goal line tight end, but he knows how difficult it really would be because you have to practice 90% of the time at one position.
More or less difficult than Shohei Ohtani. Because Travis Hunter thinks that, you know, what he's doing, more impressive than Shohei.
Yes, yeah, I mean, if he was elite at both at the NFL level, yes, it's more impressive than Shohei Ohtani.
Hmm.
But I don't think he'll be elite at both in the NFL.
See, I think he could be an elite corner one day. He has all the cornerback skills. But he'll be an elite corner, and then he'll be similar to what we saw.
Like a gadget here.
Yeah,
there.
Like what we saw with Deion. And Deion's arguably the greatest two-way player in NFL history. And he was more of a gadget player. You come in, you throw him a go route, you run him a slant, you give him a reverse. But he wasn't an offensive player.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We will be right back.